Rev up those fryers, because I am sure hungry for one.
Greg Hill Show.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
It's
your cool hill man.
The Greg Hill Show.
We're up and out of here. Don't worry about that.
Tick, tick, boom.
Starring the biggest foodie on the planet.
To me, food is the most important thing.
White bread is succulent.
Greg Hill.
Wait, what? $1,000 to go to Baltimore?
Yeah, we know you want to go see the Orioles play, buddy. We scraped your data.
I don't want my data scraped.
I didn't even
it's
know they
my
could
data.
Scrape your data.
Stop scraping my data.
So how do they do that?
They scrape it. They go right in there and they scrape your data. Yeah.
Featuring the parlay playboy himself.
This tickles my fanny. Does that math make math? I did not know that.
Wiggy.
Shower check, little homie.
Is it frowned upon if you bring your own Fructis Garnier?
No, that's cool. Like, those are the best time in the locker room was those things. I would have loved to have been in the locker room with Christian Wilkins to know exactly.
Save that.
Joined by Boston's number one linguist.
Criminal mischief and arson have become this kind of tandem. Pete Buttigieg.
Courtney Cox.
For you to take the jump and gamble your entire career away, you have to be jumping the ship a bit.
And accompanied by two big brains behind the glass.
Don't put salmonella with your yams.
I'm on Shime Island.
Like, talk to me, Daddy.
You are both morons.
Curtis and Shime.
20 years.
That's not 2 decades.
Sandler?
Yes, it is. A decade is 10 years.
Right.
15 is not new.
No, but I said 15 or 20 years ago. I don't remember when Spanglish came out.
It came out in 2004, 21 years ago.
Okay,
suck it.
Now.
Let's get down to business.
It's time to party.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Morning.
Good hello, morning, everybody.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning, my neighbors.
On Boston Sports Original.
W-E-E-I. Got my people.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill. Greg Hill. Greg Hill. Show. All right.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
Let the games begin.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go!
Tick, tick, boom.
Morning.
What it do?
What's happening?
It's hump day.
Well, it is.
Yep.
Heat continues, I guess, Curtis. One more day of this nonsense.
Yep.
Is that correct?
Then we're going to go south to the 70s tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Good news. Well, you got to get through today. However you do that, whether it is lots of water or ice cream or stealing your way into somebody's pool or whatever it is.
Keep the dogs inside. Too hot for dogs outside
okay.
now.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. And make sure you stay hydrated, you know, and wear sunblock.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we are here for you, and we will be here through the heat and here through the cool weather and whatever it takes. That's what we do here, Curtis, correct?
I mean, we are here. We didn't even mention it yesterday. Very nice text from Greg yesterday afternoon. Sort of under the radar. 6 years yesterday is a show.
Yes.
On EEA.
Yesterday was the 6th anniversary of the first broadcast of this radio show.
Wow.
And I am forever in debt when it comes to those of you who have embraced the show and listened to it or watched it on Twitch or YouTube or streamed it at WEEI.com or listened on the Odyssey app. Very, very kind people.
And Courtney is forever in debt. No, I'm just kidding.
Some Curtis didn't think we'd last 6 days, never mind 6 years, but here we are.
So I said that Kellerman had the dumbest take of all time. Mm. I would say those people, probably dumber.
Well, we defied the odds.
That's it.
We did.
Well, everybody was pulling for us.
That is it, brother. Against all odds.
Yeah, against all odds. And Red Sox winning baseball games.
Uh-huh.
And Jaron Duran making it very difficult to part ways with him after last night, that 446-foot bomb that he hit last night. So 2 days to the deadline. Sox with a win last night. Courtney, we'll give you all the details coming up during trending. But we're all sitting here waiting for.
I don't think they're going to move him, though. I mean, I know there's been whispers about it.
I think
they'll move prospects to get that, you know, that pitcher that they.
There's honestly been more whispers that they're not going to move him than they are.
Yeah.
You know, in the very beginning, it was Jaren Duran. Now it's been basically hush.
Yeah.
Well, so you think Breslow ends up getting a starting pitcher?
Yeah, maybe he moves on from the prospects. You know, it'll just be interesting to see the direction that they go in. If they don't move Durand, obviously, there's reports that they'll move him in the offseason. But you know, I think that the key is there going to be that impact arm available, because you know, people are saying who's going to be available. And if there is, I think, you know, maybe the prospects get it done. Maybe the Eovaldi, but if Texas feels like they are in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound like, I mean, I guess, who knows? But
yeah.
It doesn't sound like you're going to be able to get Eovaldi. But I don't know. I have no idea. Nobody, only Craig Breslow knows.
Right.
That's only Craig Breslow. And
I mean, the Red Sox, Gasper has a good column in the Globe today about how the Red Sox have been telling us now this is their time to show us that this is different.
Yeah.
That it's going to be make or break in terms of we are actually going back to what we used to do, which is invest every deadline. I mean, it's worth repeating, Greg, that it was an anomaly if the Red Sox weren't adding at a deadline. Now it's become their way of doing business because of the shift in how they approach payroll.
Yeah.
And you can't say, there's teams making trades all over the place the last couple days. So the Red Sox have absolute needs in their bullpen. They have a need at the starting pitcher position, at the second starter, and they need people to bolster this roster that currently has a 64% chance of making the wild card.
Well, and for those who argue that or try to argue that there's not a difference when it comes to payroll, their payroll in 2019 was $229 million. Mm-hmm. And this season, it is $192 million.
Right.
And so over that 5-6 year period, they have, Curtis is correct, they have considerably cut expenses over there.
And that's why
we
Sam
all know
Kennedy
that,
hates me, though.
What's that, Curtis?
That's why Sam Kennedy hates me, because he has no answer for that. When I said the spring training, when he did the interview from his hotel room instead of coming to JetBlue Park, and I said, you know, can you at least admit now that this has been a change back to how you had done business before? And he got all mad and said I was a liar or whatever. I don't know. But it's like, of course they've changed. They've never been 13th or 15th in payroll.
No, and I think the biggest thing is just, you know, just own it. Like, we all see it. Everybody knows it. Like, your philosophy when it, and, you know, maybe they feel like they got burnt in the past with bad contracts, and they're like, all right, enough is enough. At least own the fact that, all right, you know, normally you're in the top five, always in the top 10 when it comes to payroll, but a large portion of the time you're in top five. Just, you know, own the fact that we got burned on some bad contracts, and we ain't giving out that type of money no more.
Yeah. Well, deadline is approaching rapidly, and you can talk all morning long about what you are hoping or you are believing the Red Sox will or will not do. And if you want to call and be on that topic or any other, the number to call is 617-779-7937. Same number to text on. That's the Subaru of New England text line. And you can find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. We have our leads coming up for you in just about 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes or so. And then they set it at 7:20. And that is a quick back and forth on everything they said yesterday in sports, including how one New England Patriots quarterback describes the intensity level of the Josh McDaniels offense after another day in pads at Gillette Stadium. Will we have, speaking of that, will we have the Curtis Camp query of the day today, Curtis?
Oh, yeah, we forgot that. Yes, I have a great
820?
One.
820, okay. Yep. News with Courtney coming up at 7:45. And, as always, Hill Notes at 9:20 this morning. This is Cotto from Boston. What's up, Cotto?
Good morning. So just want to talk about the Patriots real quick. And I think that with the win total, I think that they could definitely get 8 wins. I think that, you know, with their offseason pickups and what they've done this year. I definitely think that 8 wins is a reasonable number. I think the team is set up for success.
Oh, shucks.
Hello? AAF phone there.
Yeah.
Bomber.
Sorry.
There we go.
Oh, he's back. Okay, Cotto, start up. We lost you. So 8 wins you think is doable? I mean, I think most of us believe that 8. Go ahead.
I think that 8 wins is definitely doable. But I do think that, you know, just like every other year for the last couple of years, the offensive line is going to be a problem. But one thing I want to highlight is how good Top Douglas has been. I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, top 3 receiver in the NFL, but he's improved a lot. And from what I've seen in the reports, I think he's going to be a big key for us. And I think that him and Drake May connecting will be something great for us this year.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, we'll get into it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure. Again, I say this, I feel like every single day is... Mm-hmm. It's training camp, so
yeah.
I don't.
It was a great 6-year run.
Well, I wanted to give him a chance, Curtis. I mean,
it wasn't his fault. His phone ended, and then we got back, but it really
take us off the Bluetooth, please.
Yeah.
You know, does that delay a little bit?
That threw him off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, he's talking, you're talking.
It was like the Sox rain delay on Monday.
You can't really know when you're jumping in, so it's like, you know.
All right.
It's, you know, trying to double dutch with
Greg,
your eyes.
You should answer phone calls like the Gen Z do, which is wait for them to say hello.
Somebody was DMing me about that yesterday who listens to the show. If you missed it, there's a new Gen Z trend, which is that when answering the phone, they don't say hello. They don't say anything, actually. And a Gen Zer was DMing me and explained it away as a time-saving move.
I got a different reason why. I was messaged to say because they get so many spam calls that they just answer, because as soon as you talk, that's when the recording and the AI starts talking to you. Mm. Instead, if you just pick up the phone and don't say anything, a real person will say hello. If nobody speaks, you just hang up.
Mm.
Okay. Who answers phone calls from numbers they don't recognize?
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, that's, I don't know.
Well, and I thought
it was the excuse I was given.
And I thought the Gen Zers, I mean, I could be wrong, I thought they were more FaceTime callers than anything.
They are.
So did they just wait on the FaceTime for the other person to, like, you know, speak and move?
Well, I'm sure when they open their FaceTime, they don't say anything, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't get. Do you get a lot of FaceTime calls?
I feel like that's the new way of going through.
I do. That's all I do. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I FaceTime more than I talk on the phone.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's the new thing, Greg.
Like with random people?
Not random. No, but like my friends and family.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever FaceTimed once.
Really?
Yep. What?
Never once.
I love FaceTiming.
Yeah. I feel like everybody, the majority, I mean, I don't talk on the phone that much. I feel like, you know, guys don't do it. But I feel like everybody, I just don't. Like, I mean, it's with, hey, buddy, what are you doing? Nothing. All right, just call, tell your night.
You should do that new trend where you, on TikTok, people are calling their, like, teammates and saying, like, hey, just saying good night.
So you have friends that aren't in the area. You don't call and see, like, how they're doing?
No, text message, that's it.
Yeah.
It's so much easier.
I have a douche move ruling question, Greg. Yesterday, speaking of FaceTime, was out at Paramount for lunch. Lovely. And next to Jess and I was a woman eating by herself.
Yeah.
No headphones, FaceTiming with where the person would sit if they were at lunch.
Oh,
douche move.
In public.
In public.
Yeah, no, that's a douche move.
Okay.
That is
put the headphones in.
I am accused of being ancient by DMs because I take a lot of calls on the speakerphone.
Yeah, that's bad. That's bad.
No, I like that.
Yeah, I
like,
do that.
I do the same thing, Greg. Yeah. I'm just deaf. So.
I can't always, the volume sucks on my phone. I can't always hear. I like to go right to the speakerphone.
But it's called being respectful of those around you. Yeah, and like DMs doesn't want to hear all your conversations.
Well, I mean, I don't know. They're interesting conversations. Right. Yeah. Maybe she does. Yeah. I don't know. But I don't feel like that's an old man move.
No, you know what I think it is? Nowadays,
Lazy. That's what it is.
No, nowadays everybody walks around with the earbuds. So they feel like, you know, most people have earbuds, but I'm with you. I don't wear earbuds like that. So the speakerphone is easier rather than have it up against your ear and your shoulder and that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, it's a pain. It's a pain in the butt to like try to.
Yeah, like who does this
in the ear hole?
It's not a rotary phone. Yeah. Like you still
it
hold
in the ear hole.
Right, it's what you got to do. It's like a rotary phone. Like stop it.
I'm like, what? Huh? Yeah, speak up. All right.
It was. I actually was talking to Lindsay when we were up at Lake Winnipesaukee, and she was like, "Yeah, I hear every time you call Greg. It's funny. He just puts it on speakerphone." I was like, "Okay, good to know."
Well,
my
that's
God.
That's what I do. I mean, I don't know. I could stop if you feel
no,
like
it's fine.
Maybe,
no,
if it's making
book.
Me seem elderly.
I told I you, I generally feel weird talking to people on the phone. I don't know.
I also noticed this morning I got a giant hunk of gray hair here.
Oh.
First time I've ever seen that.
Wow. Mm-hmm. It was all the birthday planning.
Do you see it?
Yeah.
You can see it?
Well, yeah, but it's like salt and pepper.
Yeah, I don't like that, though.
Why? Your beard is salt and pepper.
I know. My beard has always been salt and pepper, but the hair was maintaining its color.
That you know? Did happen like overnight.
Right?
Yeah.
Courtney, it wasn't the birthday planning, it was the birthday bill.
Yeah, that's true. That's
it may have been.
Get your gray hairs real quick.
It may have been. All right. Let's get to Courtney and to what is trending first thing this morning.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. And if it's the 6-year anniversary yesterday of this show, that means it's 6 years since I met you. One and only time. People think that Greg was basically like my uncle that gave me this job. Right. I met you once, and it was like two nights before you started this show. At Fat Baby, you were with John Blackie.
Yes.
Brian. Sorry, John Dooley, Brian Blackie. Blackie, and he introduced me to you and said he's starting the new morning show on EEI, and I never wanted to be further away from somebody in my life.
Really?
Well, I was terrified of like Curtis, Ken, all those guys.
You were afraid of Curtis?
When I was at Nelson, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and now you got to know him.
Oh, yeah.
And,
now I love him.
He's like a puppy dog.
But yeah, really. I met you and I was like other side of the room. Too scared. The Sox take one in Minnesota after jumping out to an early lead. 8-5 was the final on the road. Trevor Story had his first homer, a two-run shot since July 8th. He had a little bit of a dry spell then. While Jarren Duran also had himself a home run, a 446-footer. Lucas Giolito went 6 innings, giving up a run on 5 hits while striking out 5. That score brought to you by the Mass State Lottery. Let's make it the best night ever. Grab your friends, pick your numbers, and celebrate the night with Keno and the Mass State Lottery. You must be 18 years or older to play. Last one in Minnesota today, 1:10 first pitch with Brian Baio getting the start. Mike Monaco joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Kick things off with Joe Weil at 12:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. Now, day 6 of Patriots training camp, day 2 with pads, came and went without Christian Gonzalez. NFL insider Jordan Schultz reports that Gonzalez suffered a hamstring injury that will, quote, sideline him for a bit, but he is expected to be ready for week 1.
Okay.
Drake May completed less than half of his passes in 11-on-11 and 7-on-7 drills, but some good news, folks in attendance said Will Campbell looked better. A lot of people saying, quote, sturdier. During one-on-one drills, much better than day 1 of him on Monday.
He's probably got a little excited, tried to get a little too over-aggressive. And, you know, when you're a young pup in the league and you get too over-aggressive against, you know, veteran defensive linemen, they tend to yank you down a little bit. So he'll drop the anchor.
Shime, I know we're not getting too high or too low on Drake May, but less than half completed passes?
I mean, no interceptions. Some overthrown balls from what I read. But also some really nice throws and a couple drops mixed in. So normal training camp day.
Okay. And Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families here in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank. Member FDIC and DIF. That is what's trending. Our leads coming up next.
Well, summer not going anywhere for a while at least. And our weather smoke, Curtis, says once again today in the 90s. So oppressive heat again today. And then tomorrow, 70s, and Friday morning for Flex Friday at the Tipsy Seagull, maybe in the 60s, Curtis. Is that correct?
Yeah. Current forecast, not great. We need to do the reverse of the rain dance.
Okay. All right. Well, looking forward to seeing you. We are back at the Tipsy Seagull. And a Flex Friday show on Friday morning, and that is in Fall River. A bit of an unfortunate incident last night in the WNBA at the Atlanta Dream game in which a sex toy was thrown onto the basketball court at the end of the game.
Yes.
So I'm
Must
sure.
Must have been a Bills fan in the house.
It's a neon green one. Yeah. Neon green was the color of the... Yeah. Object.
I don't know if that, maybe it's, you could see it in the dark better.
Yeah,
gotta
find that point. Time.
I don't know how those things work.
Yeah.
Somehow the rest of the WNBA will blame that on Caitlin Clark.
Correct, yeah.
They were not happy.
No?
No.
Did they eject the individual?
They were yelling at him. Yeah,
I think they did.
Yeah.
Also, I thought it was kind of unfair that they kicked the fan out of the WNBA game who was laughing the other night when the player's wig came off. I mean, how are you supposed to control? Like, if you're watching a professional sporting event and you see a player's wig come off, like, for, like an older player like Aaron Rodgers or something, like, would you not, like, if his toupee came off, would you not laugh?
If it was slightly out of place and it looked inappropriate?
I mean, I don't understand, like, why you would throw somebody out for that.
No, I don't know why. David Spade, Tommy Boy.
Remind me.
So he's doing a newscast, or he's, like, on the streets of Chicago, and a big wind hits, and his toupee goes flying in the air.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can't control
it. Yeah, I don't think you can. I mean, laughing at it.
You can't control the wig.
Well, if you got to make sure you go see a better stylist, had that baby glued down or something.
Yes.
And I feel bad for her because obviously she ran off the court. She was embarrassed. But at the same time, if you want to be taken seriously like the NBA, like you can't be ejecting fans for something like that.
Well, no. But also, if you're playing in a basketball game and your wig comes off, you probably should not just run off the court. Like, you should wait for the whistle.
Mm. Well, you got to fix it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't get in the world with women in their wigs, but, you know, there's a lot that goes into that.
I understand, but I would have thrown it to a fan or something, like a keepsake, like a memory of the game or whatever.
I mean, they pay a lot of money for those wigs. Right. I just throw those things in the stand.
Thousands.
All right. Well, anyway, that's what happened last night in the WNBA. Shine, let's get right to this, if we could, please.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio. Oh,
I feel like we were just talking about Zach Brown on the show yesterday. Was it yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah, and this was the song you opened with 6 years ago.
Oh, shime. Yes, we were trying to fool everybody into thinking we were going country, Curtis.
Still not a country station.
If you remember, no, still not.
Yes.
But a very popular format in radio. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
if necessary.
Especially during the summertime.
I mean, let's see, we've been here, we've done this show for 6 years, so if we don't make it another six, Curtis, maybe country down the road.
Country's in the news now, big. I think, what did Beyonce have, the highest selling country tour of all time?
That tour was huge.
Something crazy.
But is it really a country tour?
Oh, yeah. It was really a country album.
I know, but it's not really, like, it really shouldn't count as the biggest country tour of all time.
That's what they're saying. I mean, Cowboy Carter.
I know, but she doesn't do any of her, like, other hits?
No, she does. Yeah, she does.
Of course she does.
Yeah, I don't know. She brought out Jay-Z and
Destiny's Child for her last one in Vegas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's, you see what I'm saying? I think that's unfair, like, to call that the biggest selling country tour of all time.
That's what Billboard is calling it.
I understand.
Can I also say, you brought up Zach Brown? Kind of have the ick.
You do?
Ooh, there's
the stuff with his ex-wife?
Yeah. Mm. His ex-wife, Kelly, is like in the middle of a lawsuit, and he's getting engaged to Kendra Scott, and then the post. Yeah.
Well, his ex-wife, who he's like suing to, she needs to stay quiet.
Yeah.
She put up this post comparing things that the two of them had done when they were dating with what he's doing now with this new fiance, and they were the exact same.
It's identical.
Like, so she does these side-by-side pictures, and one of them is them on a fishing trip in Alaska, and they're both sitting there in the exact same position with a fish. And, like, it's kind of like
they're on a beach in one of them, and he's playing the guitar, and both the girls are, like, looking at him in a lovingly way. Like,
yes.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's like he does the same kind of routine yeah. with everybody that he dates or something.
Well, he's got go-to pitches. I mean,
everybody
have their goal, whether it's an offensive coordinator, he's got his go-to play.
But to be portraying this like love story that, oh, it happened so fast, but when you know, while you're suing your ex-wife, I believe they have children together,
yeah. mm-hmm.
like is a bit icky
also,
for me.
Also, why is he suing her? It's not like he has anything proprietary, right?
Well, he must have something that he doesn't want. Maybe he doesn't want her saying that he's a jerk. I don't know. I have no idea.
Doesn't it feel archaic, the whole notion of paying someone to not tell people that you were bad?
Like, yeah. Yes.
I hate that those things. I mean, do those survive lawsuits? Like, do those hold up in court?
I think she is saying, basically, I'm going to talk about it and I'm going to share this stuff.
Yeah.
And keep coming at me or whatever because it's something that I experienced and you don't have the right to shut me up.
Yeah.
So she wants to talk about this stuff so she can probably get a little juice,
yeah,
little, some money off of it.
I don't know.
But she should be able to.
You always assume that.
Well, because why do, like, all right, if it doesn't work out, like, I never understood. I don't get pillow talkers. If it doesn't work out, why do you need to tell everybody what went wrong or how this person is or whatever? Like, just, all right, move on. You go live your life. Now you're writing a book about, you know, it's like the Gwyneth Paltrow. She's out here running her mouth about what she likes to do with Ben Affleck.
That's very different, though. This isn't pillow talk, though. It's very much, to
like
me,
what?
Looking at this is like the Zach Bryan trying to get Brianna chicken fry to pay her $12 million to not say anything bad that he did to her. And like this,
but
it
what
seems
silent.
Well, if you
Zach
don't have
Brown.
If you don't have anything to hide, you're not trying to sue your ex-wife. To get her to shut up.
So that's what his ex-wife on the left, right?
On the left.
On the left.
Yep.
That's his new fiance on
Kendra
the
Scott.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. So he likes to fish.
And so
but there's a million of these photos.
He likes to do the same exact thing with every girl that he dates, which, I mean, that's fine.
Go to the beach photo, Mitch. The beach one's my favorite.
Yeah.
All right. So
I don't mind this one. This is the red carpet. Like, of course, they're going to be on the red carpet.
But here's the stupidity of it.
Oh, there's the beach one. So see him. See, he's playing playing a little song for her on the beach.
To be fair, he is a musician.
Right. Don't you think that's
what
musicians do?
But it's the same photo.
But guys, here's the dumb thing. If he's not suing his ex-wife, we're not talking about it. We're not looking at these side-by-sides. Like, he's creating a news story. Just let it go.
But he's massive, right? I mean, isn't that what, like, musicians do to lock in the deal with the ladies is get there.
Just play a song for
them? And don't they love when they play on the acoustic guitar and just sit there and
make a swoon, baby. Right.
And I love Zach Brown. And I guess this is why people say, like, never meet your heroes. Because I don't know if I would like who he is as a guy if I'm listening to what his ex-wife is saying.
But you can enjoy his music.
Yes, I can separate
the
art from the artist.
Like, who cares what kind of person
And I always look at, like, when things, it's very, very rare that you see a marriage end and two people respectfully walk away. So anytime there's
we did see that. Did you see the tackle on the Chargers who got a big $140 million deal?
Rashawn Slater, his ex-wife,
And Dove Kleeman, the aggregator, was like, oh, he just got divorced, perfect timing. Mm-hmm. And the woman that just got divorced quote tweeted it and said F off, basically.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so happy for him. Like, stop acting like you know our business.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
she's trying to write a book, the ex-wife, because she want to get some money.
Well, you don't know what she's trying to do.
He's Maybe Zach Brown. She's who? Who is she?
His ex-wife, Kelly.
Is she famous?
No.
Exactly.
But
so she's probably give all the dirt on Zach Brown.
You and Talina have been together forever.
Yeah.
Would you have a confidentiality agreement if things went south?
Well, if I knew that there was a chance that she was going to blab her mouth about all the stuff that, you know, we did or maybe we disagreed on in our marriage?
No, you wouldn't.
I would be like, yeah, why would you do that? I mean, clearly that's what she's doing. Unless short of him, if she's coming out and saying, oh, he beat me, okay, I get that.
Yeah, she's not saying that. It's just
then what is she saying?
It just seems like maybe he wasn't the best husband.
Oh, okay, they're getting a divorce. We realize that. You don't think he says she wasn't the best wife?
Okay.
She might come out and be like, oh, he's got micro penis.
I mean, he's Zach Brown. I
right, but if she did that, Wiggy, then he could just sue for, what is it, libel or
right,
slander
but
or whatever?
He's trying
so,
to
like,
do,
why Because
he's
the
getting in
now?
Front of it. I mean, he's,
yeah,
trying, to maybe, he's trying to get in front of it. Look at poor Ben Affleck.
But it makes you look worse.
Ben
but-
Affleck has literally had glowing reviews by these exes. Like, the fact that Gwyneth Paltrow enjoyed him doing what he did to her is a glowing review.
That's
right,
pillow
right,
talk,
that's
though.
A positive.
Right. Like, he's walking with his head up a little higher.
No, he's not.
No more of those Dunkin' Donuts photos for Ben Affleck. He's a happy man.
That is pillow talk.
He's actually crawling.
No guy or girl likes that, so stop, Courtney. You know that's cap.
I actually, Greg, I think
he's squatting. Would be cool if, so Santa would be cool if guys are out here running around like, yo, Courtney was the best thing I ever had. She did this one trick. You're saying Santa would be like, hey, he's a glowing reviews.
All right, anyway, Leeds, we were getting to Leeds. Leeds. This morning brought to you by Subaru. Make this a Subaru summer in a brand new Subaru with symmetrical all-wheel drive. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Hello, Sean.
Hey, Greg, good morning. We don't overreact to training camp, but one thing I did want to point out that I found was positive was it seems as though Jared Wilson, the fourth-round rookie out of the University of Georgia, might be able to play football pretty quick here in the NFL. He has looked good so far in training camp. I have heard nothing but glowing remarks about him, to the point where he may even come close to leapfrogging or jumpfrogging, as we say on this program, Cole Strange, to be your starting left guard, which is very promising. A guy who I thought when they drafted him was extremely athletic. I didn't know exactly how fast he would be able to adjust to the NFL. I didn't think he'd start at center right away, but it doesn't seem like that's the case. I think he might find himself playing left guard for this football team, which is a positive, because if at the end of the day, you know, three years from now, you can say confidently you found two legitimate starting offensive linemen in this draft, you took a massive, massive step in the right direction in supporting your young quarterback and building an offense. So that, to me, is an encouraging sign.
Yeah, and I've heard mostly positive stuff about the way the line looks. I mean,
yeah, other
Morgan
than
Moses has been old, but outside of that, like it, for the most part, Greg, I would agree.
Yeah, but they said it, when he put the pads on, he looked okay, Morgan Moses. But
he was getting dominated by Harold Landry, I believe,
in 101s.
Yeah, well, just in general.
Well,
is what
BC
Tom
guys
Curran
are
said.
Pretty good. So.
I just like, you know, there's like, you know how it is, Greg. Like I said, we talked about this year. Everybody sees things differently down there. Based on what you're hearing is that the O-line looks like they're doing a good job. Yeah, they get beaten one-on-ones in certain situations here, but I read a report where the run game looked great. 8 out of 10 run plays they had were all positive yard plays. And so who the hell knows? But it hasn't been something. And I guess I'll get to it in my lead that lets me know how training camp is really going.
Okay, good tease for your lead coming up. And we'll take a quick break and we'll get to Curtis's lead and to Courtney's lead and to Wiggy's lead and to my lead coming right up on the Greg Hill Show at WEEI. Vindication is mine when it comes to talking in the privacy of my own home on the speakerphone at all times. On the Subaru of New England text line, a texter who is listening a little bit behind on the Odyssey app. And by the way, you can always stream WEEI on the Odyssey app as well as on the iHeartRadio app and on the TuneIn app. And they say that Apple is advising users to utilize the speakerphone so as to avoid any kind of gamma rays or whatever they might be going into your head. So it's not an old man thing. It's a health thing.
Yeah.
How long have you had a cell phone?
Like since they were invented.
If the gamma rays, whatever they're called, are going into your head, you're screwed already.
Oh, you think so?
It's been years.
Yeah, but you're going to get it down the road. That's why they put the speakerphones on there. I remember hearing that the radiation or whatever the hell
that's
it is.
Right.
So,
see? So
that's why I don't put the phone to my ear is that. And then the fact it's easier.
Also, don't use the microwave. I don't know.
Well, that's different.
All right. We have leads left. Curtis, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. Non-sports here. I apologize.
That's okay.
I read this in the Globe yesterday, and I thought it'd be a good exercise for all of us to weigh in. 8 pet peeves at restaurants. This is from Kara Baskin. This is her 8. Let's see if you guys agree.
Okay.
When the server asks, are you still working on that, is a pet peeve.
Yeah.
A favorite line is the server clears plates. She said that you should say, may I take your plate instead? Is that something you agree with or perfectly fine? Ask with the question, are you still working?
Doesn't bother me one
bit.
Doesn't
bother you.
appetizers that come three to a serving is a pet peeve.
Oh, because there's four people there?
Right. Or yep. odd numbers, so it doesn't work out.
Well, any four
appetizers. I just double up the order.
This one I absolutely agree with. Restaurants in 2025 that don't have online menus. When you're getting ready for dinner and you can't check out the menu in advance.
Hate
you can't
that.
Scout the
oh,
menu.
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying.
Well, yeah, because you guys are menu stalkers.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. Like, you've probably already figured out what you're going to have tomorrow night when we're down in Fall River.
Yes.
At the Mexican restaurant.
Enchiladas.
It just makes you excited.
Yeah. This one, to me, is the number one douche move of any restaurant in the new way of doing business. Tipping in real time. When you're used to be, you get the thing in the little leather holder, you get to give your card, you sign, and then you leave it on the table and you leave. Now they're staring at you as the options are 22%, 25%, and 28% when you have to tip and give the card right at the same time with the device.
Yeah. I would agree with that. First of all, we've talked a lot on this show that tipping is absolutely out of control. You are now required to tip everywhere you go, whether somebody whether somebody just delivered your food at a drive-through or whatever. You have to tip everywhere. But I don't think they ought to give you only three options when it comes to the percentage that you want to tip. Like
How many options?
If the service is great, I go at least 20%, sometimes 25%, sometimes 30%. But when they do, whatever the options are, 17, 22, and 20, I think people just should be allowed to tip whatever they want to tip.
Well, and sometimes it'll say other, but then you have to do the math in your head, and it becomes too difficult, you know? So
it's on
I
the
agree.
Tippity tip of the tip.
I like the ones that actually, they say 20%, give you the tip, the price of the bill, and then they calculate it out for you, so then all you got to do is write that number in.
Yeah.
And I like the tip thing.
It's crazy to me, though. It's gotten so out of hand that even at a convenience store, I just saw Johnny Hillbrandt, who's a influencer in Boston, does funny videos, skit videos. He just posted that he was at the airport in Seattle, bought a cookie at the convenience store, just picked it up. It was a wrapped cookie, brought it to the thing, whatever. It was a $3 cookie. Then it said tip $1 and immediately already had it on $1.
Right.
And you would have to click other.
Right. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's nuts. Nobody did anything for you.
No. And we'll just get to this one because it was about Greg and I thought it was apropos. ordering off menu is a pet peeve.
I really do that order off menu. The chef enjoys it.
Specifically notes that the chef does not enjoy it when you do that.
No, the chef likes to be challenged.
As long as the
chef is getting very, very bored back there in the back of the house, Curtis, and wants a little challenge.
As long as the food is there, then it shouldn't be an issue, right? You know what I mean? If you're saying, oh, I like this one meal, that maybe shrimp scampi.
Yeah.
But I don't eat shrimp. Right. Can you put some steak in there?
Yeah, right.
That sounds pretty good, actually.
Steak scampi does not sound good.
Oh, I think it does. Like the scampi sauce.
No, it doesn't. I'm just using that as an example. If you have those steaks.
Nobody has ever ordered steak scampi.
What about chicken scampi? I feel like I would.
I don't know. You might be onto something.
I would like my grill. I rather than shrimp. I would prefer grilled chicken or steak.
I'm not a big shrimp person, so I'm with you.
But I don't think that's an issue, honestly. Just your order off menu.
I don't.
What, are you telling me bro can't whip up a little bechamel in a pinch?
Greg, by the way, quickly, the 17, I only see 20% when I check out. There's not even a sub-20 option.
I see 15.
Sometimes they give you, if you go to, let's say you're going to get a bagel.
Yeah.
And they flip the thing over to you
and then
they stare at you.
Yeah.
There's three options. That's it.
And
you feel like you're a jackass if you want to question why you're tipping somebody who just cut a bagel and put it in a bag for you.
This is why you always have to order online. Then you don't have to stare anybody in the face when you put $0 tip.
But then you run the risk of them doing something to the bagel when you're not watching.
So why don't you just hit no tip?
If your tip is not good enough.
Because then they flip it back and then you could see their face when they see that they didn't get a tip.
I could see you only tip at a restaurant, right?
Talmwigs.
That's it.
Not really anymore.
Well, that's your fault. If you choose to tip at McDonald's, don't blame McDonald's for it. Blame yourself.
But at Annie's in Southie, family owned, you go there. I go there on the weekends with James. It's I can't not tip. I'm going to say
no, you don't tip. You're talking like a little mom's and pop.
No, like sub-store. James gets a bagel. That's it. We get a all bagel right with cream
yeah,
cheese
no,
and water.
You don't
water
tip at a place like
but
that.
But you have to. It
no
says, I mean,
there's
I
a feel, no option, no tip.
Texter wants to know how you feel about being asked to tip at a sub shop when you're just going to pick up a sub that you
I don't
ordered
tip at a sub shop.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
but let's they say, put some work in there.
But they're now asking you, well, they put the work in to make it,
yeah,
but they're.
No, nah, not like that.
But like, they're being paid like a good hourly rate, I would yeah assume, to make the
but
sub.
That's the crazy thing, is tipping used to be for service, for waiting on you. Now it's, like, I think of it as how much effort did they put into making the thing.
That's
like
only
coffee
because they've brainwashed you into thinking
right
that.
I know.
Like, it still should just be the service that is provided.
Like, here's the way I look at a sub shop. The same way you look at McDonald's. Do you tip at McDonald's?
No, I've never gotten the option to do that.
Right, but you don't tip at a fast food joint.
No.
So why would you tip at a sub shop?
But if you're a Chick-fil-A and Shime, and you yep check out, and they give you a screen like they do at a restaurant, and it's in front of the person in the window, and it offers to tip, I bet most people would tip.
Oh, I don't. I refuse.
Yeah, I just hit the no tip, and then do your little name in with your finger and keep it moving. Yeah.
This is Kevin from Boston. Kevin, what's up?
How's it going, guys?
Hey.
Sorry you're on speaker, but I don't want the cancer, you know?
What's one up, so, Kevin?
You know, sometimes I feel guilted into tipping, but I was at Dave Matthews up at Bank New Hampshire Pavilion last Tuesday.
Yes.
I got two tall high noons and two non-alcohol athletic beers. $70. Mm. That was an easy no tip.
Yeah,
what are we talking, $35 for a tall high noon?
That's like, so you're talking about, you got four drinks. Two of them were non-alcoholic, yep, and they were almost $20.
Yep.
$20 a drink.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, that's, absolutely. Yeah. It was $70 without a tip, before yeah the tip.
Yeah, right, that's nuts.
But that's like the normal world nowadays. Where do you get a drink, an alcoholic drink, that's not $18 to $20? I mean, unless you go to like,
well, yeah,
someplace.
That's why you bring your flask to the restaurant. Make,
yeah,
make your own drink.
Was this the pandemic induced? Like, we felt that because all these servers were off work or unable to work because nobody was allowed
yeah
in, and then the tip started and
well,
just stayed?
Well, I think the tip thing started because people didn't want to touch money and exchange money. So then they started using the machine thing, and then they just kept them there afterwards, I think is what
right
happened.
Right, but I agree with Curtis. The pandemic was like it hit the restaurant people the most
because you were trying to help them.
Yes.
So.
So now when, you know, even if it was like, you know, hey, you were just ordering the mom and pop subs because people weren't allowed to go in and eat, you felt like Curtis is right. Like, all right, let's help them out by giving them a tip. Now you're just stuck in the world of like, oh, yeah, you've been doing that now. Now I got to continue to do
it. Yeah, because when you picked it up, you felt bad because they couldn't actually serve you. So during
right
the pandemic,
yeah,
you tipped as if you were there.
Right.
Yeah. Matt is from Everett. Hey, Matt, what's up?
Huh, full lines.
No, there ain't no way you guys are going to flip the script right now. I know for a fact none of you, probably besides maybe Wiggy, would tip anyone or anything. There's no way. There is no way in hell.
What are you talking
any
about
of you are tipping anyone. Goodbye.
Yeah, I'm a big
what
tipper.
You are a big tipper.
Yeah. Because my mother used to, like I said, my mother was
what
like,
was that?
I don't know. Guy was calling us cheap.
Yeah. That's what
if we say, like. I don't, where does he get that idea?
Yeah.
Like, if
honestly,
I sit
I'm not usually paying
I'm
the bills. So, yeah, he's probably right. I'm not tipping, but.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm a pretty good tipper. I mean, I don't declare myself like Wiggy to be a great tipper.
No, I am a good tipper.
Like, you have to be really bad to not get 20% when you're at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to be god awful. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, 20% is the go-to.
And, yeah, 100%.
And also, it's the
it's
easiest,
easy math.
Easy math.
Yeah,
you just double, do 10% and double it.
And
exactly.
I think most, and I
carry the two.
I don't know, but I would guess that most, like, you know, waiters and waitresses and people who they're probably happy with 20% tip. I tip my Uber guy good
yeah
or gal, whoever's driving me. That's why my rating's so good. But yeah, I mean, my mother used to work in the industry of, you know, and it's like, so I tipped those. And when I worked driving the buses at Alamo, I hated the people who didn't tip after I grabbed their luggage and, you know, hauled it off the
ooh
bus.
I got a DM from Jordan who says he has to run into work, but had a question about restaurants that charge a delivery fee and then require a tip on top.
Mm-hmm.
He said Domino's is $6, I guess,
right,
for a delivery fee. And then
and
you
then
have to
you're
tip
supposed
on top
to tip
of that.
Also.
That's like Uber Eats
yeah
or DoorDash. I do that.
Yeah.
You know, you got to give the
DoorDash. I don't get delivery.
DoorDash a good tip. What do you mean you don't get delivery?
I don't get delivery. I'd rather pick it up.
Oh, wow.
At all. I do not get delivery.
Well, you're destroying the environment.
Not with my electric car, right?
He doesn't want the delivery guy to see the pain room.
I'll tell you what. I guess you ain't lazy then. You know, if you don't.
Do you walk or do you drive and then walk and say you walked?
No. I just drive, Curtis. I can do that because my car is electric. I don't have to worry about the environment. Yeah.
Sick brag, bro.
Wait a second. You're a fat. Well, you're still a fat person, technically.
Yeah.
You're telling me.
Always.
Well, he wasn't for a while, though.
Right. I'm still not.
No, he lost a lot of weight.
No, he's lost a lot of weight. I'm just saying he has it in him. Right?
He found some of it.
You're
though.
Saying
he
you
lost
can,
it and then he found
yeah.
some.
Spiritually,
you can take the
Wiki,
fat
I will
out of the guy, but you can't take the guy out of the fat.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would say this, as you know, similar to you, we're lazy. We like to eat, but we don't want to go get it. You're telling me you never get delivery?
Never, Wiggy.
That's
I have
cap.
Wiggy,
that
I swear to God.
Cap.
The only time I have ever gotten delivery is because somebody had given us like a $50 DoorDash gift card.
You want pizza, Chinese food? You're
I go
going
pick it up. Every single
That's
time.
That's insane.
I'm
every
not
single
that.
Time.
But aren't you a gamer?
You can ask my fiance. Every single time.
But aren't you a gamer?
Yeah, yeah, it gets me up and out of my chair and to go pick it up.
Those don't go hand in hand. He's lying.
I'm not lying. I swear to God. It's because I'm too cheap, Wiggy. I won't pay the delivery fee.
It's
and
five
a tip.
Bucks.
I'd rather just go drive and pick it up.
Mm-mm. This is Tom from Newton. What's up, Tom?
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Curtis. Great. Curtis, what do you think you tip a chambermaid on a $2,000 a night hotel room?
What's a chambermaid?
What is a chambermaid?
The person who comes in and cleans your room.
Oh.
A chambermaid?
What is that? Tom, how old
1800s
are you?
Reference.
Yes. What is he staying at the Wayside Inn? I mean, like, what?
Well,
chambermaid?
Courtney was staying at a castle.
Toss the chamber pot out the window, folks.
So he wanted to make it relevant.
Are you supposed to, do you leave a tip for the maid at the hotel?
Yes, yeah.
God.
You don't leave a tip? You shower, you use the bathroom, you think they want to come in and clean up after you? And you don't leave no money for them?
I don't leave a tip for the maid.
Wow,
you are some
I never knew you had to.
Yes. Yeah.
You've been in there showering and, you know, using the restroom.
Yeah, at the hotel, that's what you're supposed to do, shower
Somebody
and sleep
Somebody has to
there.
Clean all
are,
that
are
up
not,
and touch your dirty
are they,
rags.
Are they not paid for that?
Yeah, they are paid, but still the service of, you know, and it's probably not much. They're probably just like waiters and waitresses.
No, I do not think that they're like waiters
they
and waitresses.
They don't get paid much. What
they get
like,
paid
that's
less?
The thing. I think that that's why we... Less than waiters or waitresses?
Yes.
Waiters or waitresses make like 2 cents an hour. So, they make nothing.
So you think... Somebody, let's get this. I want to get this right.
Yeah.
So you're telling me somebody who works at Davio's or Mastro's makes less than somebody who cleans hotel rooms?
They make their money off of tips. That's why tipping started.
But and people need to get tipped at the hotel. They don't make any money. They make minimum wage. And then if you're not tipping them, they're making a lot less than somebody who's working at Davio's or Mastro's.
Well, would you like the AI overview answer to this question, Wiggy?
Yes.
Please do.
They actually make almost the exact same amount. The average waiter salary in Boston, $35,694.
Oh, that is outdated.
The average hourly wage, $17 an hour. The average hotel housekeeper in Boston, around $17 per hour, $35,008 a year.
Wait. So you think...
According to AI overview.
You think a server at Davio's and a person cleaning at a Hilton in Boston have the same salary?
No.
I'm
telling you that's what AI says.
Okay, let's not... AI could say a million things. $35,000 is like... There's
but Curtis,
no way.
That's probably base, and then they make most
there's
of their
no,
money off tips.
No,
that's your salary. That's, it's factored into it.
Yeah. There's no way the people who are working at, like Curtis said, a Hilton in Boston cleaning rooms is making what a server makes at Mastro's. And so you're there, you're taking your shoes off, your feet are on the bed, they got a clean vacuum.
Yeah, I thought you just tipped like the bellman who brought up all your stuff.
So wait a second.
Like and if you get like a room service.
I'm confused about this.
Yeah.
So you tip the guy who just carries your bags upstairs, but you don't tip the people who clean and make sure your room is fresh every single day.
Yeah, that's a good point. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. Huh? All right. Curtis, good lead.
Yeah, that is a good lead, Curtis.
It was mocked.
Yeah. And Tim, would you tell Shine we don't use AI no more? We use the chat Britney girl? Because right. Whoever that AI he's using, I don't know where he got that.
Takes longer, I'm sorry.
Chat BRIT is yes. What we use, yes. All right, rest of the leads coming up next.